Good morning. Okay, if you looked at your program today, you've seen the subject is called the lying game. And if anybody that pays attention to sports, I was originally on to speak about a month ago, but since I've been sick, that didn't work out. So there was a lot of lying going on in sports, and along with some other things that I've experienced recently, it's led me to the subject that I'm going to talk about, the dangers of lying and how that can just spread and spread and spread. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. This is a saying that was used by Shakespeare in one of his plays, but it was originally coined by Sir Walter Scott. And what a accurate description, an extra accurate expression this is to describe what lying becomes. It becomes just a big web of mess, lies, and it just keeps growing. Lies are typically what people want to hear, but they cover up the truth. The cover that makes blinds people to the facts. Many times those coverings of lies get cracked, broken, and torn, and the one who says the lie gets revealed and gets embarrassed. Reputations can be ruined by lies that are told. They can also come crashing down as a result of being revealed. And as I said earlier, there's been a lot of lying in sports as of late. In the last several years, of course, with drugs. Whether it's an athlete like Lance Armstrong recently, using banned substances to get an edge, and then covering his lies, trying to bury people underneath a big pile of lies so he can reap the advantages and still be up on a pedestal with people. He ruined a lot of lives doing that. Or whether it's a lie like recently happened with Manti Te'o, thinking that he had a girlfriend and found out she was fake. Either way, there's embarrassment with lies. It also causes people to doubt the players that truthfully do things the clean way and the honest way and try to bulk themselves up the right way by using weights and things like that and practice. This is what happens when members of the church also lie or otherwise sin in the public eye. It brings down the whole lump of us. If I was to go out and do something wrong and everybody knew that I was a member of the Church of Christ, it makes everybody look bad. Well, a drug bust, a performance-enhancing bust, might cause shame and embarrassment to a reputation of an athlete. Our souls are on the line when we lie. We're trying to get into heaven, and that's what will be taken away from us if we continue to lie, if we are doing that and leading that pathway. Even though these athletes think they can get away with these things, it seems like they are always caught in the end from somebody ratting them out, or some paperwork that turns up. Somehow, some way, it always seems like they get revealed and brought out into the public eye. If you turn to Acts chapter 5, you have one of the most famous lies in the Bible. When a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and he kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thy heart to lie and to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, it was not thine own. And after it was sold, was it thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up his ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. The young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the same space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." And Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." And we know the rest of that story. That God does not like it when we lie. If we think we're getting away with it, we're not getting away with it with God, because God knows everything. In Matthew 6, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they already have their reward. But when thou doest thy alms, Let not thy right hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms might be in secret, and thy Father which is in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." While these verses are being applied to prayer and not praying just to be seen of men, the same idea can be applied to how we live our lives and telling the truth. Lies wouldn't be told unless you wanted to look better or make somebody feel better versus them knowing the truth. So you tell a lie so they don't have to know the truth. Presentation is everything. Brad Paisley, a country singer, he has a song that's titled "Online," where he sings about being a really short person that's not very attractive or very cool, and girls don't like him, but how he gets a lot taller and loses a lot of weight when he gets online, because he can lie online and tell a bunch of different things about himself that make himself look better in the public eye. That wouldn't work very long. If you actually got to meet the person and those conversations were going well, then you would be revealed as being a fake, if you really wanted to gain the true advantage to those conversations that you were having. Just ask Manti Te'o, who thought he had a girlfriend for 3 years and found out that it was a guy pretending to be his girlfriend and talking like a girl in falsetto voice, and he could never see her because it blacked out on his computer, but this liar could see him. The lies grew and grew to keep that going. When he found out that everything was a hoax, then he felt he needed to lie. So he didn't look totally foolish because he had talked about this woman on national TV and everybody had fallen for this good story about how he had lost his girlfriend and his grandmother on the same day. They both died and it became a national story, and then he finds out it's not true, and so he has to tell lies to cover up that he fell for lies. It just grows and grows. Just kind of like bread, when you put yeast in, has a tendency to, a little yeast leaveneth the whole lump, and it rises, and it spreads. First you have to lie, and then you find yourself lying again to keep from revealing the first lie. It's not a good way of life for a Christian. For some people, coming to church is a lie. You might be saying, how in the world can coming to church be a lie? Making people believe something about you that may make them feel better about you, that's not the truth. If you're not living a Christian life outside and you just come show yourself on Sunday morning, everybody thinks that you're a Christian. And it's not the truth about you, then coming to church is a lie for people that would be doing that. Sometimes people make promises that they don't intend to keep. That's also a lie. If we go to John 8 and 12, start to find out how important, how much God values the truth. First, I'm going to read verse 8 and 12, then I'm going to be reading 25 through 32. Then spake Jesus, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then they said unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, Why have you lifted up the Son of Man, that shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him, and he said, Then said Jesus unto the Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth frees us. It frees us from a bondage of hell that could eternally torture our souls. A change has to be made from these ways, and truth has to be a way of life as a Christian. If you look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 14 through 32, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into them all the things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their own mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may be, that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give a place for the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearting, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The change has got to be made from the heart. In Psalms 86, verse 11, it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may work the I will work in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear with thy name, to fear thy name." In James 1, 17 and 18, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And Psalms 15, 1 and 2, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." This is the kind of person that is going to be able to abide with God and be in heaven, as somebody that speaks truth in their heart and doesn't speak lies. And if you look in Zechariah 8, in verses 16 and 17, it reads, "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord." The Lord hates all these false lies that people tell. He doesn't want them in our Christian walk. He wants us to put those things away and walk in truth. If we go back over to John, or John 3, 18 through 22. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be revealed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." If you do good things, you want to be known of God. You don't want to hide in darkness. A Christian shouldn't want to hide in darkness because we aren't doing the, because that would mean that you had not been doing the things that Christ wants you to do. And when somebody wants to be forgiven and get a burden off their chest about how they've been acting, we need to be able to give them forgiveness. We find an example of that in 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 9. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and to the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you come to the realization you've done something wrong, you need to work on forgiveness. As Christians, we should be willing to accept any apology from someone who is a Christian and is asking for forgiveness. And we've got to be accepting of it and accept that God will be the judge of whether they were telling the truth or not. Now, I listen to a lot of sports radio in my truck while I'm driving, and a lot of these hosts try to spend a lot of time taking calls and giving their own opinions about whether somebody was really telling the truth or not. That is the way the world works, because they don't trust in God to take care of things. They sit there and think that they've got to be the judge. No. God didn't put them in charge to be the judge. As Christians, we know we have to forgive when we're asked to forgive somebody. We trust in God to take care of that sin, and if they were hiding the truth, then he's going to take care of that problem. Another thing we do that is a hard thing for kids is we make our children go up and apologize to somebody when they are little, and it's important. A lot of times they shrug up and curl up in a ball and try to hide up against their parents' leg or something when they're asked to. You need to apologize to them for that, and they really don't want to. But it's important that we do that so they can go and ask for forgiveness later and say, "I messed up." That's an important thing. It's never easy for anyone, even an adult, to admit that they've made a mistake. But it's an important thing to acknowledge those mistakes if we want to keep our soul clean and keep ourselves in good shape with God. Truth or consequences. This was a game show that was before my time, but it does apply to my talk today. You need to be a truthful person, or you will eventually be revealed and have to reap the consequences of your sins, whether they be lies or otherwise. How sad will it be for you on the day of judgment if you've lived a life of lies and God is the one that reveals those lies in front of everybody? There ain't going to be any apology then. It's too late. It's too late to clear up those lies. You had your chance, but you didn't do it. How sad will that be on the day of judgment if that's your fate? Athletes lose their chances at Hall of Fame inductions, maybe lose trophies or reputations like Lance Armstrong did. all those trophies he had to give back and everything, and get banned for life for the lies that he's told. Lose their reputation that was so high up there with all the fans so they could get that glory. They've had their reward. That time where they were shining and everybody thought that they were doing it right, that was their time to shine. Now it's over. And they're being brought down. Lance Armstrong's lies hurt reputations of many people, and now the truth is revealed that those people were actually telling the truth, and many of them lost money, lost jobs and everything because of what he did to keep himself up there. He stepped on a lot of people. Our lies may hurt other people too. And if we are Christians, the truth should be living inside us. The truth, not lies. The truth needs to be revealed and put forth in front of everybody. We need to live a good Christian life. Christ doesn't live in lies. And if we want Christ to dwell in us, we can't live in lies either. If you've been living in lies or other sins, that you need to get that taken care of, or you've had other issues that you need to make known so we can get you in better Christian standing with God, or you want to make it known that you want to serve God and that you're going to be a servant of His and bring Christ into your heart and accept these terms that He's given you to be a Christian, then you have that opportunity, as the invitation is being extended to you now as we stand and sing.